it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome back to the Chelsea podcast. This is our Brighton preview show. And once again, I'm joined by the magnificent Mooch. Hello, buddy.
Hello. Yeah, good mate.
I'm good mate. Cheers. And we're very pleased to welcome back CFC UK writer and Chelsea author and longtime Blues fan, Mr. Tim Rolls. Tim.
Good evening. I'm very well. Very good. Very happy to be here.
Excellent. Thank you for coming back to us. So we're looking on at Brighton. Obviously, we're coming off the back of a slightly debilitating result last Saturday, which we're now going to try and wipe from our memories. And hope that it was all a massive blip or some sort of acid flashback. Brighton at the beginning of the season looked like, a team who might be challenging again, might be sort of pushing on. De Zerbi seemed to have got quite a lot right. Yes, they've lost some more significant players. They've had a bit of a mixed bag as well. They're in eighth, they're above us, so can't really knock that, but they have had a bit of a weird time. I mean, they
got pumped by Villa.
They did, yeah, and subsequent to that they held Liverpool, which is obviously a decent result, but only drew with Sheffield United and Fulham. They beat Newcastle and they beat Ajax home and away, but I think the win on Saturday, they got a late win against Nottingham Forest, away at Forest. That was their first win in seven. What do we make of them this year?
I think they're struggling because they've got the European games. I just don't think it's like it's happening a bit to Villa, although they seem to have overcome it. If you're not used to playing in Europe and suddenly, they're in the Europa League. You're playing two games a week nearly every week. And I just think it will take them time, as it's taken other teams time, to structure yourself such that you can cope with that with that fixture list. But they've got some very, very good players still. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've got some optimism, but I think what was worrying is that Ferguson, who I think is an excellent player, played and scored on Saturday, and João Pedro scored two on Saturday, and they've got other. I think, they're good players. They have got some other good players. If we can get a win out of that, I'll be very, very pleased. Like I say, but they're in Athens on Thursday night, so they won't. Yeah. So they'll be knackered. To be blunt. Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the other thing to say about that. They've had some standout performers. And people really have come in and sort of filled the breach when some of their big names have sort of been poached, not least by us. but they are in the middle. I mean, we said this about Newcastle, but they do seem to be in the middle of a bit of an injury nightmare. I mean, they're There's no Solly March. There's no Estupinan, who's done very well at the beginning of the season. No Julio Enciso. I think, this weekend, Ansu Fati and Tarek Lamptey, our old boy, both got injuries, and that's going to rule them out of the game. Certainly going to rule them out of the game in Greece. And I think we'll probably rule them out. I think from what De Zerbi is saying, we'll rule them out for the rest of the game and for our game. And they're going to be without Lewis Dunk as well, who, to give him his due, I always considered him to be a bit of an old lump. But I think he's really turned himself around. I mean, he's become, dare I say, almost John Terry-esque. He's a commanding figure in the penalty area. And he might be not the most elegant centre-back in the world, but he makes up for that with a lot of anticipation, certainly a lot of guts. And I think he's going to be a very big miss. So reasons to be cheerful, Mooch, do you think?
Well, yeah.
Spit it out, boy.
Yeah, look, we're a better side. We should be a better side than Brighton. They're on a poor run. They beat Forest, but just, you know, drawing it to Everton. It's not. I feel we should be at a point in the season now where we shouldn't be worried about this Brighton side, but we're not quite yet. So I'm hopeful. I think we'll do them. I think we should beat them. It is at home, which yeah. is proving to be a bit of an issue. But you know, we beat them to sort of go on a bit of a run in the cup earlier in the season, although they probably wasn't their strongest side. But they have got injuries. We should be bouncing back from the display on Saturday. I hope to God that Poch has read the Riot Act to that team and they're up for it and there is a bit of fight. And all the indications are we should be able to do one. They're away, a European away game on the Thursday, Sunday afternoon game at home. We should be up for it. So it's going to be a draw.
I think the trouble is, I think, you know, if we'd have come into this off the back of another decent result and decent performance off Newcastle, we'd all be a lot brighter about it, wouldn't we? But, I mean, I felt we beat them quite comfortably, despite it only being 1-0 in the Carabao. Tim, you were there. What was your feeling on that? I mean, in fairness, they were, again... That was even more of a B team for them than it was. In fact, it was a lot more. It wasn't really that much of a B team for us. Do you think that will have any bearing whatsoever come Sunday?
Maybe if they've got injuries and one or two of the players that played for them that night play on Sunday, Poch might have spotted. They might have spotted one or two weaknesses amongst their squad. I don't think it will have that much difference otherwise. But it does give us at least some boost that we have beaten them. So. Yeah. You know, which is that if we put out, if he gets in amongst our players, if Pochettino gets in amongst the players and they actually come out and fight on Sunday, then they got a chance. If they have their heads on the floor, lack of leadership, lack of fight, then they'll get turned over. You know, yeah. It's simple as that.
Who do you think our centre-back pairing is going to be? Because we've got United just a few days later. 3 days later. So do you think Thiago Silva is going to be playing both of those games, or do you think there's going to be Badiashile and De Sarzi, or Badiashile and Colwell as a partnership for either Sunday or the Wednesday?
I don't think that Silva can play both games, not 2 and 3 days. I think that would be brave. So I don't know. Maybe he'll miss against United. I don't know, because then we've got Everton 4 days after the United game, haven't we? So you know, I don't think he's in two games a week mode. So I think your point is a good one. Yeah.
I think they might look at the team. They might have a look at who they feel has got the most pace, which attack's got the most pace, and keep him out of that one. And I would say I'd say that's probably United.
Yeah.
I'd say they they're more likely to play him against Brighton and keep him out of the United game, where they might want a slightly quicker turn of foot. But who can say? But it is a very good point, and you're right. It's the first time we'll have played. No, it won't be the first time we'll
play. No, but look, games, first but we played be... Premier League games.
Yeah, you're right.
Or games that are not cup games this close together.
And he didn't play. Yeah. But he didn't play all the cup games anyway, did he?
It's that time of the year where it's just silly season with these congested games, and it's going to be the time where we're going to need to start seeing where our new centre back partnership is what it's going to be. Badia Shield is just coming back into the side, which is a bonus, but we also do have Colwell and Disasi. There's talk that Badia Shield is left footed, right? And Colwell is also left footed, and there's some talk that we can't have two left-footed centre-backs in the side, which to me seems a bit odd because we've had two right-footed centre-backs in the side for years.
Teams historically have had two right-footed players for decades. So yeah.
I understand the idea, the benefits of having both, but I don't think it's such a deal breaker.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we're slightly hamstrung again. We've lost Cucurella's band as well. He's reached his 5 cards, hasn't he? So he's going to miss a game as well. So that puts us a little bit light on the left-footed side. Colwell will be the left back, you would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Which sort of, you know, takes the problem out of the equation. But, I've never seen any reason why you couldn't have two, you know, if the players are good enough.
Yeah.
You know, they find a way, don't they?
Terry and Carvalho.
I mean, I think Casado will start, which is great. It looks like Malo Gusto will have to play right back. I'm assuming he will. Does anyone know, and I should have checked this first, but do we think Nkunku might be involved?
I've been reading up on this because I've been itching to see him start, but I don't think we're going to rush him back.
Yeah,
I don't think he's not played a competitive Premier League game, and I think Poch was saying, you know, it's different coming into. Coming back from an injury like that, once you're acclimatized to a league, is one thing. But coming back from an injury like that into a new league, coming from the German league to the Premier League, is a possibly too big a jump right now. And it's probably the same with Lavia as well. I don't think he's going to be.
I don't think he's there yet. I think he's a little bit behind. You know, there are people coming back to the training pitch. That's certainly true. Even Wesley Fofana, I understand, is playing on grass now, which is a massive boost. But, I can't be wise to have any of these people rushing back. I think Nkunku is probably a little bit further ahead than most. And I can't see him starting, but it'd be nice to see him on the bench at least.
Well, we've got 8 games in December. Yeah. Presumably he'll be in at some point. I can't see him, you know. Anyone who's even walking wounded will be in at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think, Tim, that signal, if he were to come back and immediately slot in and play at number 9, do you think that means Jackson is benched, or do you think there is a way of playing those two together? Because they did look good together in pre-season. Admittedly, it was only pre-season, but, you know, it was against other Premier League clubs. Do you feel like he immediately slots in as if he comes back in and shows himself to be fully fit?
Well, I think if he goes in and you know, whether they play the two of them up front together, I don't know. Because where does Palmer fit in? Where does Sterling fit in? You know, so you're starting to look at the impact on other players. I don't know. My sense is he would come in replacing Jackson, but that's a purely looking from the outsider. I've got no idea. But with 8, he's not going to come in and play 90 minutes every week straight away anyway. So it may be he plays and then Jackson comes on, or vice versa.
That's true. Yeah. And maybe they'll just swap as, you know, Nkunku will get more game time and Jackson a bit less. I mean, I would quite like to see them play together. But as you say, who misses out from the team that we currently have? Okay, gents. Well, I'm going to go get straight to the juggler here and ask you for your predictions. Tim, we asked for a scoreline, please. And this could, we often say to people, you can give a scoreline with your head and one with your heart. Those two things may be the same, but how do you think this one's going to pan out?
To be honest, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a draw, one all draw, something like that. It depends partly how tired they are and how much of a rocket we've had after Saturday. So it's quite a difficult one to call, but I'd say one all would be my heart obviously says 2-0 Chelsea, but realistically probably one all. Yeah.
Good man. Mooch.
3-0.
Come on.
Yeah, I think the stars are aligned that, you know, that they've got injuries in the squad. They're away on Thursday. We need to bounce back and show that we are, you know, a top six side.
At least in embryo.
Yeah, and I think that the players will want to come back and sort of show that Saturday was a blip. So I think if we get an early goal, I think we'll have a rare home win.
I would like to see a couple of changes. I'm somewhere between the two of you, really, because I think all of those things will count very much in our favour. Brighton have not been on a good run. They've lost a couple more players this weekend. No, three pretty important players won't be playing against us. And missing a few others, as we've already said. I think we are susceptible to being scored against, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks. So I think, you know, either Ferguson or João Pedro will get one in. But I reckon we're going to win 2-1. I think we will have a rocket up the backside. We all know it was a pretty disappointing performance against Newcastle. I think people will be trying to prove that was just a blip. And I reckon there might even be the odd change in the starting lineup just to give a little toe up the backside of a couple of players. So by which I mean the front six, certainly. I think there might be one or two changes. So, yeah, I'll be very interested to see what the starting lineup is, but I'm going to go with 2-1. So, Tim, just before you leave us, tell us very quickly about your new book project. We've heard all about some of your previous tomes, but you've got another project coming out very soon.
Well, in fact, I've got two projects. I've got a book on Chelsea in Europe from 1945, when we played Moscow Dynamite in a famous friendly, to 1971 when we won the Cup Winners' Cup in Athens. And that comes out in March. And that's just a basic, as with my other books, lots of newspaper research, talked to a few supporters who went to games. So that comes out. But the one that's taking my time is Chelsea, the first time, asking supporters for their memories of their first Chelsea match. And I went on social media and I thought I might get 50 or 60 people. I got 330. And 270 of them have come back with their first game, and over 80 of them have already written a piece for it, and the deadline's not for another 5 weeks. So it's going to be quite an editing job. It's going to be two books because just practicalities of publication. The idea is that one of them will come out in September next year and one March 2025. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. I did think to myself with that one, with Chelsea the first time, are you going to end up with a lot of people saying quite similar things? I mean, admittedly, there'll be a lot of different results in there. But are you seeing enough variation in there?
I've already made it clear to people that I will come back with questions in due course, try and tease out something different. And I'm not interested in match reports. You know, people just say, Kerry Dixon scored two and David Speedy missed the penalty, that type of thing. But the stuff I've had so far has been... it's been very different. Some have written a lot about the journey to the game, others about in the game. Some people, a guy whose first game was losing 7-1 at Wolves, another one whose first game was a 6-2 home defeat to Southampton. Yeah, and they come back, you know, they're still there now. So, yeah, I think it's going to take some editing and some cajoling and coaxing, but it's going to be quite an interesting project to do next year. Yeah.
Excellent. Look forward to seeing both of those and the Euro. Yeah. That sounds like it's going to be a great read as well. Gentlemen, Thank you as ever for your time. It's been lovely having you, Tim. Mooch, thanks, pal, as ever. Hey, and I'll speak to you next week, of course.
All good, hey, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, keep the blue flag flying high. Enjoy the game if you're going. Take care.
Bye. Cheers.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.